take questions from the committee. Any questions for the committee? Representative Plummer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Representative Sean. Seems as though we've met before this afternoon. A question over the amendment that you handed us, and the good Senate chair asked a question, but I'm not sure I still understand, and it appears to me that number three in the amendment, and specifically the last line, use of restraint chair and four-point restraints is prohibited, belongs in number four in the bill. But at any rate, is that referring to the first line, which refers to prisoners with serious mental illness and special management unit, or is that saying we're going to pack up the restraint chair and send it away? Nobody would ever
apply to the whole institution.
So it would ban the use of it anywhere in the
room.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Schatz, just a couple of questions. The testimony, anonymous, I believe, from an inmate in the main correctional system, I guess we're going to accept anonymous testimony.
I don't agree that it's anything that doesn't have a signature or a name on it.
I wonder when this was written. The date is this?
I received it last night, and I imagine it was written yesterday sometime, and it was forwarded to me by the wife of an inmate.
Okay. A question, if I may, on your testimony, Reza Schatz, on the third paragraph, you talk about this legislation bringing elements of due process, oversight, and scrutiny into the SMU environment. Are there elements of process, oversight, and scrutiny in the SMU?
There are policies. I think in that blue sheet on your desk, you'll see that there are policies that exist that don't have the weight of statute. You know, if those policies aren't followed, and if you read and even the short interviews I've had and the material I've read and the written testimonies, I can almost assure you that those policies are not religiously adhered to. And, of course, the consequences of not following a policy tend to be more disciplinary action, where they'd be more onerous if these were statutes. So, again, there are those policies.
So what you're looking for is to codify some of the existing policies and possibly add some additional ones as we've seen.
Correct.
Thank you.
Senator Davis.
Mr. Chair. Representative Schatz, how are you going to do away with the straight chair, handcuffs, chains, leg shackles?
Let me just clarify. I corrected the language so those, except for the chair, the others would be available to. The language I gave was allowing those uses.
You allow those uses with the chair,
the chair and the four points.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much, Representative. Have your seat.
Thank you.
Save a space in the audience. I will now take testimony from co-sponsors.
Senator Grzaski, Representative Haskell, and Honorable Members of the Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. I am Representative John Hink. I represent House District 118, which is part of the City of Portland. I appear today as a co-sponsor of LD 1611 and in support of the bill. I would not stand before you and purport to insist on the language entirely as written. However, there are key points that I support. One would be to address the extent of time the prisoner can be kept in segregation, at least without additional due process, including the showing of conduct justifying continued segregation. Second, disallow confining seriously mental ill prisoners in segregation and require that prisoners in the SMU be monitored for exhibiting mental illness. And third, require more fair and meaningful hearings and reviews. I don't make the recommendations lightly. I don't testify lightly. In fact, I seldom testify on a bill that I'm not lead sponsor on. I've given this a bit of thought, and the bill itself and also the subject matter. I have a little bit of background in criminal justice, which I summarize. One of my first jobs out of college was buying and booking movies for movie theaters, and one of our clients, one They wanted the newest movie. The studios wouldn't give them to us for the Monroe Reformatory. They wanted X-rated fare, which was prohibited. Four movies a week, and if I got the wrong one, which happened when I put the award-winning, Academy Award-winning movie Julia into the Monroe Reformatory, the inmates rioted. And then I met the whole prison administration the next day in my office to discuss that. Subsequent to that, I was working for an activist environmental organization. On several occasions, I became a criminal defendant. I didn't spend much time in serious facilities or serious detention. I did spend an overnight after a 20-bicycle blockade of a nuclear waste shipment that was in Benton County, Washington. I later became, very briefly, I worked in defending criminal defendants as an extern in the semester before I got my law degree, and included representing a capital murder suspect who the lawyer I was working with myself wanted to believe that the client was innocent. As the evidence came in, it became apparent he was not. We met with him frequently, and I was not there when his trial occurred later, but that young man, who I'll call Simo, not because I'm covering up his name, that's how he was known, was convicted and is probably still serving time. After that, I actually became a criminal prosecutor. It was in a jurisdiction that follows American law, but is not an American jurisdiction, the Republic of Palau. And I was assistant attorney general and then acting attorney general in this country, and handled three criminal cases and got convictions in all three. One of them was a state legislator. I sent the senator away. He was found guilty of smuggling methamphetamine into the country for sale to kids. I mention these things because I think I understand, or I certainly try and understand, the balancing act that is our criminal justice system. And last Friday, I joined colleagues and did the tour at the Main State Prison in Warren. I thank the warden, Patricia Barnard, for accommodating us. They did a very professional job taking us through there. I did feel occasionally as though it's not that easy to have the routine there disrupted. And I greatly respected that they were able to accommodate us. I learned quite a bit. You know, according to the Maine State Prison website, the facility balances its security obligations with its obligation to promote rehabilitation by providing and implementing a comprehensive treatment plan for each offender, which encourages the offender to re-enter society as a law-abiding, productive citizen. I think it's fair to say that I could see the dedication to that mission, but that also the second part of that mission has compromises. And I think we should all know that. The rehabilitation part is not what we would have in an ideal world. I think a significant part of it might simply be resources. But some of the questions raised in this bill go to other aspects that may not be that resource-intensive. If I had the opportunity in budget process for perhaps serving on this committee, I think the resource question probably should be tackled. I was impressed with the professionalism of those correction officers to a person, but we spoke with some more than others, and the dedication, but more than that, the skills and the analysis that they bring to their job, it, to me, was stunning. And their pay ranges from $13 an hour to $17 an hour after years of working there. I feel as though they are doing work for us every single day, and many of us wouldn't take it on. In talking to inmates, we were given a room, and inmates who had served in the SMU were brought in one at a time. And I didn't take notes, but I listened very closely. I wanted to share with you some of the things once you start to notice noise, it never seems to stop. Lights are on all the time. Everyone in there would be better if they could just get some normal sleep. Just some good sleep. The guy in the cell next to me was mentally deranged. He was sick. He knew I had problems with sound. He would sit tapping on the wall. He would keep it up for hours. Not regular tapping. I could deal with that. Odd, irregular tapping. They took everything away from him, but he still had his fingernail. He could keep tapping. I know there needs to be a segregation unit, but it could be better. I've suppressed every single one of these inmates, either volunteered or if asked, did not challenge the idea that we have a unit like that. They all suggested changes which, interestingly enough, I didn't feel as though the prison officials disagreed with that much in conversation. A person will do anything to make a change. Cutting up seems normal. They all refer to cutting up. You've probably heard it in this committee. The expression was new to me. Every single one. Yeah, cutting yourself. Prisoners will do the most extreme acts just so the 12 guards will jump on them and will have that contact. I was searching every little crack in the walls of the cell, hoping to find some kind of blade so I could cut the artery in my throat and pull the sheet over my head and bleed out. I lost my understanding of myself. I got to wondering if I could even deal with, ever interact with another person ever again. I volunteered to that inmate that he did a really good job talking to us. He seemed to struggle the most of all. And I told him that he'd done a really good job, and I just got a look from him. It's like I'd thrown him a life preserver or something. I think it's fair to say that prolonged isolation does not often resolve the impulses that give rise to social deviant behavior. The segregation unit will tear at the psychological framework of the mind, making many of those incarcerated there only more unhinged, more vulnerable, more unable to function and keep control. Those kept in the SMU need to be psychologically monitored and evaluated. My impression is that is done. But we make compromises on that, perhaps because of resources, and it raises serious questions. What do the experts and professionals say? I believe my survey of the experts, reading, etc., they urge limiting all forms of solitary confinement, including the variation we call segregation. What about our professionals, the ones who share the prison environment? In our conversations, they made one plea very, very plain to me. They said, do not take away any of my tools. I actually know the individual who said that specifically. And I completely understand that. And I do not think that passing a bill means we have to take away tools. But I also heard from that same individual and others that the situation there isn't perfect, they would concede. A former employee at the SMU wrote me, no doubt to others, and he wrote, I will admit that there are issues with the SMU, but this bill would place both prisoners and staff in perilous danger and not address the issues that need to be addressed. A compromise must be reached. I think we should examine it closely, but I don't see that perilous danger. But I would agree with him on a compromise must be reached. Give it some time to work. He was saying that there's been changes instituted, and I get that sense that there have been, and it's going in a positive direction. It's my belief that officer safety should be paramount to any bill passed in regards to this special management unit, since it is in their utmost priority to protect the public, and they cannot do so without protecting themselves. I'm about to close this. That was from the gentleman who worked there who wrote. I find that I really agree with what he has to say. I just think it's a little bit of difference of emphasis and timing. If it's a normal budget, it's a normal situation we review in the legislature. I think when we know that something can be changed for the better, most of us would like to see us do it soon. But we often have to get comfortable with fitting it into a longer time frame. I question doing that in this case. If we can agree that there are positive changes that should be made, I think they should be made, because partly because it's a human rights issue. The people that are suffering going down to the segregation unit generally means they've no doubt been in further wrongs, but each of them is still a human life in our custody. We want that life to be heading the other way toward rationality and any rehabilitation or redemption that is possible. We want institutions, our institutions, to steer people back upwards, even those that will never live outside of the prison, and certainly for those who will, and many of them will, which is another key point. Let's not only keep people whole, but move them back in the right direction if we can. I thank you for your courtesy and consideration and urge you to examine the issues and vote on to pass on the bill, anything that would provide sensible, safe,